Well, it is good to see you today. It's another beautiful October morning. I'm glad that you made it a priority. Oh, yes, we need to let the children go. Thank you. I was reminded of that, and then I even thought of it while I was standing there, and guess what? I'm an old man. So the kiddos are gone. But anyway, it's good to be with you today, and I'm glad that you made this a priority to be in God's house on this Sunday morning. And God bless you all for being here. As has already been announced, Pastor Joe is somewhere in Brown County, I think. And Pastor Joey is somewhere in Florida, I think. And I got a call yesterday afternoon at 2:30. Pastor says, he calls me Pastor. He says, "Hi, Pastor." I said, "Hi, Pastor." He said, "How's your day going?" "Oh, it's great. You know, I've got a few things done today. Not too much. I'm just kind of taking it easy. But yeah, I'm doing a little few things." He says, "Well, how would you like to get real busy for the rest of the afternoon?" I said, "Go on." And then he unloaded the news to me, and I said, "Well, I'll do my best to present God's word in the morning," and here we are. And I had been talking previously with Teresa, my sounding board, and about a title for a message, and I hadn't developed it at all. And the title of that message was Broken Handcuffs. And I am going to develop that, but that's not what I'm preaching this morning. And I thought that was, man, I was in my study when I was over at Eastview, and one of our Sunday school kids came in, and he's telling me about a YouTube that he put up on the screen or whatever, and that he had made. I said, "Well, what was it about?" He says, "Broken handcuffs." Man, the light bulb came on in this preacher's mind that that'd be a wonderful message. Broken handcuffs, the release from sin. But as I said, that's not what we're preaching on this morning. Maybe I'll develop that and I'll go to the pastor and say, "Hey, I got this." No, I wouldn't do that for sure. I always appreciate the opportunity to share God's word. And so this morning, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And the title of our message today is All Out for Souls. All Out for Souls. I don't know if you, once you have found that passage of scripture, you'd like to go ahead and stand as we read from God's word. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, and this is very familiar scripture to all of us who have attended church at any, even for a short time. This is a parable of the lost sheep. Verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And then he finds it, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not repent. Lord, we come to you asking for your touch and anointing as we share this message today. I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts, speak to the church today. And help us, I pray, to be challenged. Help us, Lord, to just be more like you. Help us to live out these verses which we just read. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I said, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I know that you've heard many sermons on it, but I'm not sure that you've heard what I have to share with you today. Maybe you have. Parables similar to this are frequent among the Jewish writers. The whole flock of mankind, both Jews and Gentiles, belongs into this divine shepherd account that he is sharing with us. And it is but reasonable to expect that the gracious proprietor will look after those who have gone astray and bring them back to the flock. This is the whole idea, looking for those who have gone astray. The lost sheep is an emblem of the heedless, those who are wandering and didn't even know they were lost. One who follows the corrupt dictates of his own heart. We see that happening around us today without ever reflecting upon their conduct or considering what will be the issue of his unholy course of life. No creature stays more easily than a sheep. Let me say that again. No creature strays, I meant to say strays, more than a sheep. We have any sheep herders here this morning? Probably not. I didn't see hands up. But we've been around sheep. Maybe someone you know has sheep. And they do kind of wander off. It will bleat for the flock and still run on in an opposite direction to the place where the flock is. This I have noticed. No creature is more defenseless than a sheep. Have you ever thought of that? And more exposed to be devoured by dogs and wild beasts. Even the fowls of the air seek their destruction. There's ravens who often attempt destroying the lambs by picking out their eyes, in which, when they have succeeded, as the creature does not see whither it is going, it soon falls easy prey to the ravens. Satan is ever going about as a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. In order to succeed, he blinds the understanding of sinners, and then finds it as an easy matter to tumble them into the pit of perdition. Who but a Pharisee or a devil would find fault with a shepherd who endeavors to rescue his sheep from so much danger and ruin? Those were thoughts from Adam Clark. J.B. Chapman, a great man of God in our church many years ago. He was one of the general superintendents. And in January of 1946, at a district superintendent conference in Kansas City, he shared a paper which he had written, and the title of that paper was All Out for Souls. I was given a copy of that paper in 1992 by our district superintendent, who at that time was John F. Hay. I'd been pastoring maybe a year. I still have that little pamphlet. I read it often. I have parts of it underlined, highlighted. I count it one of my most important books in my library. So I'm going to share some thoughts this morning from his message that he shared with the district superintendents in 1946. I was thinking sometime this morning, 1946, how many years ago has that been? Oh, I was born in 1949. I'm 7. You know, okay, I figured it up, and it's a long time ago. He wanted us. He wanted J.B. Chapman in his day, as he preached to the general or the district superintendents from all over the country. His idea, his point was to that message, to this paper, was to go all out for souls. Everything that we should do in the church should be to reach the lost. Everything. We may get busy doing church and may not be focused on seeking the lost, leading them to Christ. We have many ministries right here at Anderson First Church, AFC. And I'm thankful for every ministry that we have. Kind of keeps us busy, kind of keeps us hopping. But our focus should be in all of those ministries to be all out for souls. What are we doing to reach a lost and a dying world? Yes, many of these ministries are to help those who are Christians to grow stronger in their faith. That's good. But the end result of that should be we're helping people to grow stronger in their faith so that they can reach out to a dying world, which we are a part of right now. So we may be busy doing church. It may not be focused like we should be on leading them the lost to Christ. We have many ministries here, as I said. I think of Ezra, as it is an outreach to many who do not have means to support themselves, which is such a help and a way for the church to reach those in need. And it's through something like that that I believe that we can be an example for Jesus and lead people to God. Thanks to Terry Herb, and many that she has helping her. I appreciate that. I've been down there before. Did I help? I felt like I was in the way more than I was helping, so I kind of disappeared. And because it's organized most times. And I appreciate everybody that's a part of that. That's important. Very important. We have the clothes closet, which helps many with clothing needs. I believe Amy Tishner and Abby Bruner are leaders in that ministry. And I was speaking to her before the service and told her I was going to mention her name. She got nervous. That's all I'm going to say about it. Okay? So thanks to these women who are doing a work for God to reach a lost. I've also heard testimonies how these ministries are changing lives, and that's great. So as I move through this message today, do not think that I am suggesting that we are not reaching the lost with these ministries, for we are. I also think of the community center and the great potential to reach the lost, and I can hardly wait till it's completed. I would account ourselves as having just now received the tools for service rather than, wait a minute, I think I skipped a page there. I knew I'd do that. Or maybe I didn't. You know, you have these, as a preacher, these weird things you think about of getting up here and beginning your sermon, and you're going through your pages and you say, where's 3 and 4 at? Where's page 3 and 4 at? Well, I just had that feeling, but I found it. So we're good, okay? Whew. All right. I would count ourselves as having just now received the tools for service rather than to think of anything past or present as a finished feat is what Dr. Chapman is saying here. He's looking at this group of district superintendents. We're now just like the farmer who has obtained his machinery and the motor power and looks to the fields for his harvest. We have a lot of tools, is what I'm saying. We've got lots of tools. And I will say this also. Oh, there's a clock. I guess when I see him going like that, I need to wind it up. We have a lot of tools to win a lost world to Jesus. And this message is not only to us at AFC. This message is to the church throughout the world. All out for souls should be our battle cry, and we'll focus on that in just a bit, but it should be. All out for souls. Everything we do should be based on the idea and the fact that we are to win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, as our scripture verses bring out. Then continuing with Dr. Chapman's thoughts, and speaking of the field reminds us that we have all that could be desired. We have everything. In his day, he's saying that, and even today, everything's available to us. To all intents and purposes, the world is indeed our parish. And that, in a more practical sense than ever John Wesley could say it, with him, the expression was largely idealistic. With us, it is predominantly realistic. If we are straitened in anything, it certainly is not in the matter of challenge and opportunity. We have all kinds of opportunity, but we see a lot of challenges out there. We've seen some challenges with the community center. It wasn't too long ago, I was eating breakfast with a pastor and some other people, and at that point, they hadn't even come out of the ground with the steel. It hadn't been that long ago. But then all of a sudden, God took care of that for us. And they're moving along pretty well. Are they going to make it before cold weather? I don't know about that, but I hope so. I hope so. We have a lot of challenges, but also we have opportunity. But ours is the spiritual approach to the ills of individuals and of society. And we shall not be true in our calling if we give our time and strength to methods that are less fundamental. Then he adds, on the question of the meaning of Paul's words concerning the man whose works are burned up, but who is himself saved, yet so as by fire. He continues, I think the reference is primarily to such works as help but do not heal. Reform but do not regenerate. Improve but do not save. Make men better but do not make them good. Bring to light, but do not introduce life. See, what he's saying to the church in 1946 still applies to the church today. That we don't do these things just to put a Band-Aid on it. The things that he just listed, we do that to win souls. Then he continues, says, and make better but do not sanctify. Then he continues, some of our large local churches have shown no growth in membership within the past few years. This was in 1946. See, these words could almost describe our church of today. We used to report, I think we still do as pastors of the churches, we report conversions, sanctifications, receiving memberships, baptism. But I'm not seeing a lot of this taking place across our nation. And the Church of the Nazarene is all I know about. Church of the Nazarene is a great church. I love the Church of the Nazarene. But I'm afraid too often that we are settling for the not quite so good stuff. We're not reaching on or reaching out to a lost and a dying world. And yet there is not much to criticize and correct in the technique of the churches and the districts involved. You know, we have it all together. We have, like it's here at church, we have all kinds of ministries. But are we winning people to Jesus? I'm not talking about winning them into our congregation. As I tell you, over the years, I've realized and understood that just because I help someone find Jesus, I walk with them that walk to the cross, doesn't mean that they're going to come to my church. And that should not be an incentive for me to go out and try to win people to Jesus. That's great if they do. But if they go to another church, praise God. Praise God. They've gotten in. And yet, there's not much to criticize and correct in the technique of the churches and the districts involved. It is not that, listen, the fault is deeper and more fundamental. There is not enough heartbreak over the loss, not enough soul burden, not enough groaning and weeping and fasting and crying for a lost people. When was the last time you was, no, I'm not going to ask you that. You know what the question was. Are we heartbroken for the lost? Are we wanting to win them to Jesus? Moreover, and as a consequence, there is not enough deep and genuine conviction for sin among the unsaved of our families and friends. Hypocrites are too comfortable in our presence and in our meetings. Bickering and backbiting go with too little condemnation. Sour holiness, bitter devotion to persons and cause. Lightness in the homes and in the churches. Worldliness, love of ease and occupation with silly social conventionalities among the women. Covetousness and love and of money among the men. See, Dr. Chapman is just laying it out there. And I guess I am too. As I read this, contentment with mediocre, delight in nice clothes and comfortable homes. Those are nice, but they should not keep us from humbling ourselves and winning a lost world for Jesus. Should not be measuring men by their salaries and weighing people by their positions they occupy. All these things get by with too little reproof because the light is not bright enough to discover the devilish origin. He continues. We are callous and indifferent when we are prayerless. We are callous and indifferent when we are prayerless. We are dictatorial when we are legalistic. I'm not for sure that we have, well, there are churches who still follow the legalistic ideas. And then there's churches that have gone the other way. But back in the day in 1946, in the Church of Nazarene, I'm sure they were very legalistic in their walk. And this is what Dr. Chapman is addressing. Legalistic rather than spiritual. We are critical when we need the stop thief cry to take attention away from our own inward sense of badness. It is almost easier to reverse, listen to this, it is almost easier to reverse a man who is going in the wrong direction than to start one who has stopped. Think about that. Stagnation is a more dangerous estate than fully agitation. He continues, I have called this paper All Out for Souls. And I'm thinking of the future, the near future. When I ring the changes or bring the changes on the battle or ring the battle, changes on the battle cry once again. I know we have some matters of policy. He's talking to the district superintendents again. And they have some matters of policy within that meeting. But his focus on this day in 1946, January 9th, was, and it should be our call today, All Out for Souls. And he continues. And don't think I'm going to read you the whole thing, because it would take a lot longer than I have. But there are some there are some important things throughout that paper. I feel that my own soul is lonesome for the company of those other souls which I am to have with me when I come at last to heaven's gate. And I expect the ticket I hold in my hand to read or not to read, admit one. But that my ticket that I hold in my hand might say, admit two. Or it might say, admit 10. Or it might say, admit 100. And it will be embarrassing if the chief shepherd must ask, where are the other 99? Church, we need to keep this in mind. And he continues, brethren, I was born in the fire. 1946. And I cannot endure the smoke. I am a child of the bright daylight, and mists and fogs and depressing gloom are not my liking. I want to go all out for souls. Revival I seek is not the product of the labors some personality plus evangelist. Such a revival is too detached and impersonal to meet my needs or to answer my prayers. I want that kind of revival that comes in spite of the singing, the preaching, the testimonies, and the human attractions and destructions. I want that kind of revival because it takes that kind to really revive me. You know, we used to have revivals. My. We used to have revivals that would go 2 or 3 weeks. Then he goes on and says, I want a revival that, like a summer shower, will purify the atmosphere of our churches everywhere and which will awaken the dormant forces of our people, young and old. I want something so general and so divine that it will be uncontrollable. A revival that's uncontrollable. Think about it. I want something that will reemphasize old-time moral and spiritual conditions. I'm not talking about legalistic ideas. I'm talking about being on our faces before God, praying out to God with a broken heart for the lost and the dying. Something that will reform and regenerate drunkards and save respectable worldlings. Something that will bring in the youth and the little children. Something so attractive that it will break over into the circles of the pleasure-loving of people. Something that will set people on their back tracks to make restitution for wrongs committed. Something that will bring to bear upon our domestic problems to save our people from the twin evils of divorce and suicide, which we see a lot of that going on in our world today, our country, in our communities. Something that will inject old-time honesty, veracity, purity, and other world-mindedness into our preachers and people. Something that will make this namby-pamby, his words, not mine, soft-handed, compromising, cringing sort of holiness as obsolete as Phariseeism was on the day of Pentecost. Something that will reveal man's credentials by means of souls saved and sanctified and established in Christ Jesus. This is what we need, isn't it? A revival. Amen. And brethren, I propose that we come down off our high horses. That's what this Dr. Chapman said this. And that we get down before God in sackcloth and dust and ashes. As I was going through this and making some dressing it up a little bit for today, I was convicted. I have brothers and sisters. I have friends that don't know Jesus. They know of him, but they don't know him. And we, as a church, as believers, we need to be on our faces before God praying for these. Maybe we can't get to them. Maybe what we have to say isn't breaking through the barrier. But God can. God can. In the heat of the battle, I'm just about finished. In the heat of the battle in our American Civil War, a Confederate general called a corps commander to him and said these words, "General, go out there and take that fortified hill." The corps commander answered, "I'll try, sir." But the general answered, "I did not tell you to try. I told you to go and to take it." The corps commander answered, "I'll do it or die, sir." That's a pretty good answer. Then the general said, "I did not say take it or die. I said take the hill." Then the corps commander turned his horse and started saying back over his shoulder, "I'll take it, general." And he did take it. Trying's not enough. Dying is not enough. We must take this fortified hill. We must take it. All out for souls. Where are we at today, church? This is the order of our commander in chief, speaking from Calvary or from Olivet and from his throne, now high and lifted up. Our answer is what? We will do it. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We will do it. If you're here today and you're a lost sheep, in just a moment we're going to have an altar call. You said, "Preacher?" Yes, I will. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus. Let me suggest to you, as strong as I can, you need to be at this altar if you don't know Jesus, accepting him as your Savior. You say, "Well, I don't know how to pray." You might say, "I don't know how to pray." People will help you. People will lead you. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I'd ask you to come. And then secondly, if you, the church, feel that maybe No, that's not the right word, maybe. If you, the church, feel that you want to be closer to God, you want to pray for your loved ones, you want to see revival in our church, then I ask you to come and around the front here. If you're not able to kneel, then stand. But this is serious business. I know this is way off the track from Pastor's series on But God, and still, but yet it isn't. But God. So I would say to you, as we sing a couple of verses of an invitation, to come and kneel at the altar, or if you're just a believer and you want to let God know that you are here to work for Him, you're here for revival, you want to see a change in your life, then please come ahead as we sing an invitation.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling.
You want to see revival?
Have you come to the end?
You want to see some souls won to Jesus?
Do you thirst for a
You want to be used of God to lead others to Him?
Jesus is calling. Who come to the altar? The Father's arms are open wide.
Come to the altar.
Forgiveness was brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes.
All out for souls.
Leave behind your regrets.
That's a challenge this morning.
Mistakes.
All out for
come
souls.
Today, there's no reason.
Maybe you just want to come and pray for some of those loved ones that you know of that do not have Jesus in their hearts.
Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born.
Just a few moments, I'm going to lead us in a prayer.
Jesus is calling. Who come to
prayer of consecration.
The altar. Arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
It's okay. Anybody else coming before we pray? You're still going to be able to participate, even if you didn't come forward. So I'd like for you to stand at this time and be a part of this prayer today. All out for souls. All out for souls. Father, we come to you. We are thankful and grateful for your word. We thank you, Father, that in these scriptures we share today, there's concern for a lost and a dying world. Help us as a church to stay focused. Satan will do his best to get our focus off of that, onto something else. But Father, when that seems to happen, let us know so we can make adjustments, get back to where we need to be. I pray for those who have come forward this morning as an act of love, care, but I'm sure there are many here today that feel the same way. So I'm just praying, God, today that you'll pour out your Spirit upon this congregation today. Help us to sense power. Help us to sense your love. Let that flow through us to a world that needs Jesus. We live in a time when it seems like things are so wrong. But you are so right. Help us to stay focused on that and stay focused on a lost and the dying who are on their way to a devil's hell. Let us be used by you to reach them. You're the one that saves them. We don't. We can bring them to you. We can't save them, but you can. So we just pray today that you would pour out your Spirit upon your church right here on this corner. Help us to be all that you would have us to be. Again, I pray blessings on each and every one in this building today. Help us to be what you need us to be. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed. Bless your hearts.